suggestive that in the mid-morning portions of our services this week, we're investigating several statements, which include "I am" as the phrase, as the integral part of that statement. The "I am" statements are very important in the Bible. On Monday, Brother Bill Flaing spoke about "I am the way." On Tuesday, Brother Mike Mendez took us on a journey to the statement, "I am the truth." And today, naturally, as the third step of that trilogy, which Jesus stated in John the 14th chapter, verse 6, I would be speaking on "I am the life." But somebody misspelled my topic. And so instead of that, I'm going to be talking to you about "I am the truth," or "I'm the light," rather. I'm not unhappy about that. It's a good subject. It's a biblical subject. And there's just a tremendous amount of information on that subject found in the Bible. And I think as we look at it, we're going to find that it serves as a basis for a wonderful study and a way in which we can learn a tremendous amount of good things from God's Word. There are three passages in the Bible that use either this phrase in its completeness, or at least an allusion to this phrase. In John 8, verse 12, John 9, verse 5, you have the exact statement, "I am the light." In John 12, verse 46, you have a similar form of the statement made. In John 8, at verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." In John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, "While I was in the world," or "while I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And in John 12, verse 46, Jesus spoke something in a similar vein by saying, "I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness." Nelson's Bible Dictionary has suggested that light is, in fact, illumination. It is the opposite of darkness. The Bible speaks of light as the symbol of God's presence and God's righteous activity and our righteous activity. Throughout the Bible, light is that symbol which represents truth, goodness, and God's redemptive work. Darkness, on the other hand, symbolizes error and evil and the works of Satan. The process of creating the world sees the creation of light as the very first step in the creation of life and all that followed it. In Genesis 1, verse 3, we read, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." There's a tremendous amount of symbolism in the statements of Jesus where he said, "I am." And particularly, is this true of the statement, "I am the light"? Whenever we look at these statements, and particularly the one that I'm going to use as the very basic text of our lesson tonight, we would invite you to turn again to John chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at several things within the text that suggest what the meaning of that term really is. According to John chapter 7, if you'll notice in verse 37, the occasion of Jesus speaking this was the last great day of the feast of the tabernacles. The last great day of the feast, and in that Jesus stood up and cried out saying, and he began speaking. In the last verse of that chapter, all of the occasioned people who had come together, all of the people who had gathered together, went home. But Jesus, according to chapter 8, verse 1, went out to the Mount of Olives. And then on the early morning of the day following, verse 2, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. Now then, notice the chronology. Chapter 7, verse 32, the last great day, or verse 37 rather, the last great day of the feast. This then is the next day afterwards. The Jewish people, according to custom, had added a ninth day to the celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles. They had termed it the Feast of Joy for the Law. It was not a part of God's designated eight-day celebration of this feast, but by custom they had added it, and they celebrated it as if it were a part of the feast. on this ninth day, they took all of the books of the law out of the cabinet where they had been stored. In its place, they put a candle or a lampstand. And apparently this was in keeping with the concept they had as to what God's law was all about. In Proverbs, the sixth chapter at verse 23, we read, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life." Again in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." They were apparently, as Jesus began to speak to them in John 8, in the courtyard of the women. That's an outer courtyard of the temple. And in this courtyard of the temple, there were four large candelabra. I'm not talking about something that you'd put on your dining room table. I'm talking about big candelabra. These huge candelabra would shine so brightly that historians tell us people for blocks away would see the glow of the candelabra. And perhaps Jesus used this as an inspiration for the teaching that he gave to them whenever he said, "I am the light of the world." Whatever inspired Jesus' statement, whenever he said, "I am the light," and we study what he meant by that, we open to ourselves a learning experience to see values and receive illumination from God regarding the true path that leads to heaven. Our first question that we want to answer is, who is this light? And the answer to that question begins by saying, God is. In Psalm 27 at verse 1, we read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" In 1 John 1 verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from the beginning and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In James 1:17, he is called the Father of lights. And in Psalm 104, verse 2, he is spoken of as covering himself with light, as with a cloak. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, at verses 19 and 20, he speaks and he says, "No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will set no more, neither will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord as an everlasting light, and your days of mourning will be finished." Who then is the light? God is. But again, to answer the question, who is the light? Jesus is. By the text that we read in John 8, he said, "I am the light." But even before that, as Jesus is spoken of as being present in the creative force, in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Further in the chapter, in talking about John the Baptist, verses 7 through 9, it says, "He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not that light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light coming into the world, which enlightens every man." Again in the book of John 8, verse 12, the text that we're using, Jesus said simply, "I am the light of the world." May I suggest to you that that incorporates the concept that Jesus was going to influence, he was going to be a light, not only for the Jewish nation, but he says, "I am the light of the world. I am going to influence Jew and Gentile. I'm going to influence everyone. I'm going to illuminate the whole world." In Luke chapter 2, verse 32, in predicting the birth of this child of God, the record says that he was going to bring light a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to his people Israel. One of the rabbis, great teachers of the Jews, who had preceded the birth of Jesus, spoke and said, "Light is the name of the Messiah." Perhaps because of the statement that's found in Daniel 2, verse 22. That prophecy said, "It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him." In the book of John, chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, Jesus therefore said to them, "Listen carefully. For a little while, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, in order that you may become sons of light." Does that sound like the light was going to be eradicated from the earth? Does that sound like the light was going to leave the earth? Jesus said once again, "While you have the light, while the light is among you." And so in one sense, the answer is yes. In one sense of the term, Jesus, when he left the earth, took the light with him, that is, the light of source. But in another sense, the answer is no. Because you see, when Jesus left, he also suggested that there was to be another source of light, a reflected source, if you please. Whenever we learn that the Bible, the Word of God, is the light. In Psalm 119, verse 105, we read a few moments ago, "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And in Psalm 119, verse 130, we read, "The entrance of thy words gives light." It gives understanding to the sentence. So God was the light. Jesus was the light. The Bible is the light. And yet something else that the Bible talks about as light, you. You are the light. Disciples of Jesus are the light. As they reflect Christ in their lives, as they picture the Word of God in their actions. Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, the beautiful lesson that we're learning in the evening. In Matthew chapter 5, from verses 14 through 16, "Ye are the light of the world." Notice, please, the very same construction as what Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now he's saying, "You are the light of the world." I would suggest that the only difference between the two is source. Jesus was the source of light. We are simply reflected light. We are the reflection of light as we live according to Jesus' words and Jesus' instructions. "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so therefore shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Philippians 2 at verse 15 says, "That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." May I suggest to you, if you work amidst a group of worldly, sinful, Satan-oriented people, your light simply seems to shine brighter. Even the smallest of candles looks like a beacon of light in a very dark room. And that's what you are. You are a light among the darkness. You are a candle among the sinfulness of this world. Jesus said, "You shine as lights." In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, we read, "For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness." In 1 John 1, verse 7, we read, "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and verse 3. Isaiah is looking forward prophetically to the existence of the Zion of the New Testament, the church. And in this passage he says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, and the nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." The book of Revelation shows that the identifying mark of the churches of the Lord, those seven churches of Asia, was the candlestick, the light stand. So the church is, in a very real sense, the light of the world. We as individual members are the light of the world. Well, next we need to ask the question, what is the function of light? God was the light. Jesus was the light. We are the light, and the Word is the light. What good are these things? Well, of course, the function of light is the way we use it. What benefit is it? Well, when you walk into a dark house, why do you flip on the switch to have the light come on? Whenever you get into your automobile and the dusk is falling around you, why do you switch on the headlights? The purpose of light, the function of light, the reason for having light is to illuminate. It's to dispel the darkness. It's to help us to see. Without the light, we stumble in the darkness. And sometimes we fall. But with the light, we're able to see more clearly. We can guide our footsteps to miss the obstacles in our way. And light allows us to see. Jesus said in John the 3rd chapter, verses 19 to 21, "And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." Stop. Why did men hate darkness, or hate light rather? Because their works were evil. They loved the darkness. Why is that? We continue reading. "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." Evil people, good people, makes no difference. The light for them exposes deeds if they're evil, manifests deeds if they're good. In both illustrations, the light simply causes things to be seen. That's the function of light. That's the reason for which we have light. I love the 139th Psalm. And in this psalm, which contains so much meat for our digestion, I want to notice verses 23 and 24, where David writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." When you ask God to search you, you are requesting that He aim the brilliant light of His holiness into the recesses of your soul to reveal what's really there. May I suggest to you, this is a dangerous prayer. Think about that. This is a dangerous prayer. I just completed a series of lessons on Sunday night in Santa Clara on dangerous prayers of the Bible. This was one of them. Stop and consider what you're asking God to do and see how dangerous it is unless you are willing to have the searchlight of God placed upon you and reveal everything. It's dangerous if you're trying to hide something from God. It's dangerous if you're not open to the teachings of God. It's dangerous unless you really want to open yourself up to the scrutiny of God's Word. But you know, in looking at Psalm 139, this statement just doesn't pop out. It's in context. And in context, there's some wonderful, great lessons. There is an explicit progression that leads up to this request to have God search me. Please open to Psalm 139. In chapter 139, in Psalm 139, in verses 1 through 6, notice what he says. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. David is saying, I am astounded by the majesty of God. I am astounded by how much God knows about me. I am astounded that God knows even before I speak from my tongue the very thoughts that are in my heart. I am so wonderfully astounded by the majesty of God. And then he continues. Verses 7 through 12, he suggests his amazement at the presence of God. He says, where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. Where can you go to hide from God? There's just no place. God is everywhere. One of the suggestions that is made as you study the concepts of deity and the characteristics of deity is that this is something that is unlike anything that we in humanity know. God is just everywhere at the same time. And David, in writing these terms, says, I am simply amazed by the presence of God everywhere. Then he says, I am awed by the power of God. Notice verses 13 through 16. For you did form my inward parts. You did weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. You talk about God's foreknowledge. You talk about God's knowing even before we were born. He says, before my days were formed, before my days existed, while as yet there was not one of them. You knew what was going to happen. And so David is saying, I am simply awed by your power. I am simply awed by this tremendous power of God. Then in verses 17 and 18, and I have to suggest to you, this is a very precious passage to me, because this says, regardless of who you are, regardless of what your station in life, God thinks about you. Read it carefully. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How often do you think about your kids? Well, not more than 100 times a day. How often do you think of your grandkids? Well, probably 200 times a day. What are we saying? We're God's children. And as God's children, He thinks of us individually. He thinks of us personally. God thinks of you. And David is just humbled by the care and the concern that God has had for him. And then there's a transition of thought. It seems that David thinks about those around him and he becomes angry. He becomes angry because he sees in the lives of those around him rebellion, strife against God, the inability or unwillingness to submit to God. Listen to his words. Oh, that thou wouldst slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate thee, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against thee? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Now, folks, that's strong language. And yet David says, that's the feelings of my heart for those who rebel against God. And then, almost as if an awareness opens David's eyes, almost as if he begins to wonder, of course guided by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, then the words of the original statement, where he asks God, make sure of me. I'm talking about these people who rebel against you. Look at me, God. Make sure of where I am. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. You see, God does that by the light. He turns the searchlight of His Word upon us. And the Word is called a mirror in the book of James. So that when we look into it, we are seeing ourselves reflected in it as God sees us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Because you see, I could be amongst those that I revile. I could be amongst those that I hate. I could be among those who are rebelling against God. I could be among those who are taking your name in vain. I could be among those who are not serving you acceptably. And so I ask you, dear God, search me. Make sure of where I am. So you see, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, He was saying so much more simply than He was carrying a flashlight. That's not what He meant. When He said, I am the light of the world, He was saying, in effect, God was light. Jesus Himself was light. The Word, the Bible, is light. And you are light. What He was saying is that this light that He speaks of gives illumination. It exposes the deeds of man. It manifests the deeds that we perform. And so He is suggesting in clarity and in simplicity, use the light.